love what God's doing in us and through us, and the opportunity what we have this term of boldly demonstrating His goodness every day, wherever we are, walking in signs and wonders with the Holy Spirit, taking every opportunity to allow God to do His thing supernaturally and kind. And all we're doing is introducing people to God's kindness, particularly through prayer. And in amongst that, it might sound a little ironic, but what I want to focus on today is unanswered prayer. So today I want us to explore, how do we live with unanswered prayer or yet to be answered prayer? I don't know if anyone's ever prayed something that God hasn't answered. Anybody? Okay. Yeah, it's good. I'm not alone. How do we deal with that? And I felt particularly today this discussion is not just for us to not let unanswered prayer or yet to be answered prayer take away anything of our relationship with God, but actually to use it to enhance our relationship with God, but also to be able to help other people who have experienced unanswered prayer or yet to be answered prayer, to be able to encourage them in amongst that, because the irony is that God uses unanswered prayer and yet to be answered prayer so powerfully for our goodness. And I want to explore that briefly this morning. But I don't know if you've ever asked any of these questions. God, why? God, why do you take so long? God, aren't you all-knowing? Aren't you all-powerful? God, why do people have to suffer? God, how are we supposed to grow in faith when nothing happens? And God, where are you? So I really want to explore this, and if I could ask you to just ponder two questions. So if the person that we were talking with earlier, just want to make sure people are paired up just for a couple of minutes. The first question has two parts. The first part is, did Jesus ever have unanswered prayer? Did Jesus live with unanswered prayer? Anybody think of an occasion when he asked God to take away what he had to face? Yep. And there was a couple of opportunities where God experienced unanswered prayer. So I want to, I'll get Adam to read that passage that Sandra is referring to. And as she reads this passage, I want you to ponder, what do we learn? What can we learn from Jesus' unanswered prayer? Thanks, Adam.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will."
Take this cup from me. Jesus answered that prayer. So if you could just pair up with someone. As you read that passage, what can you take from Jesus' own experience of unanswered prayer? I'll just give you just a couple of minutes just to discuss that. Thanks. So our teaching, I'm just tapping into Pete Gregg. People know Pete Gregg. So for those who don't, Pete Gregg was the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement. So he has inspired, encouraged, and helped churches across the globe facilitate 24/7 prayer, prayer events, just raise the tide of prayer like very few people. And he just has this brilliant discussion with a lady called Pippa about living with unanswered prayer. So I've edited it down just to two chunks that are about 9 or 10 minutes each. So I just want to watch the first part where he talks about Jesus' own answered prayer, and then we'll go to the second question and the second part of his teaching.
Prayer is the most wonderful thing in the world in many ways, but I think we've got to be honest that sometimes it's also the most painful thing.
I think one of the things that I appreciate so much about you is that you're not afraid to talk about that. In fact, one of my favorite books that you've written is a book on unanswered prayer, and that's God on Mute. And I think you probably wrote that at a time when people were wanting you to write more books about miracles, right?
Yeah, they really were. They were wanting me to be the guy who just tells everyone that prayer always works.
Right.
And actually, I felt I had to be honest about the fact that, yes, prayer does work, and there really are miracles, but also that it doesn't always work the way that we need it to or want it to, and it can be incredibly painful. And that comes out of my own personal experience. But, you know, even just recently, a friend of mine, Tom, has just died, and I'm right now, if I'm honest, still processing that. As a Christian, asking God what went on. He died so suddenly, 15 weeks after diagnosis, aged just 40. He left behind a beautiful wife, two amazing young daughters. And we prayed and we prayed, and it simply didn't work. And it's devastating. I don't know why God didn't heal him. Mm. But I do know this. At his memorial service, there were tears. We all wept. But there was also great hope because he knew Jesus and we know Jesus. And so this is the paradox of faith, right? We've just got to be honest about all of that stuff, I believe.
That's really just so moving, Pete, and I appreciate your honesty so much. I think this is something that hangs in your house?
Right. Well, in our bedroom, actually. When we were just getting through some of the worst of Sammy's illness, someone gave us this beautiful piece of art, and it's Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And that hangs in our bedroom, facing our bed, has done ever since, wherever we've lived. It's such a promise that, yes, there is nighttime, yes, there is weeping, especially for Christians, but we believe in the morning. We believe in the resurrection that comes after the death. Mm. So even for my friend Tom, there's weeping and there's a sense of darkness, but we know the third day comes. We know we'll see him again. We know joy cometh in the morning. That's the Christian paradox. Complete realism about the tears and the darkness of life, but also about the hope of dawn and the joy to come. Mm.
But I suppose there are going to be some people that are going to say that just by talking about unanswered prayer, that we're decreasing faith, that it's
right.
Kind of counterproductive.
Yeah. I feel really strongly about this because actually the Bible is so much more honest about unanswered prayer than the church is. Mm. About half the Psalms, maybe a bit more, aren't happy clappy. They are bitter lament. It's blues guitar, not nice happy music. And the word Israel means the struggle. So we are part of a faith that's all about wrestling. And Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have trouble. And we don't put a nice filter on that on Instagram, you know.
Yeah, no.
It's one of those ones we kind of avoid. And then talking of Jesus, he himself lives with unanswered prayer to this day because he prayed that his church would be united. And the last time I checked, that's not happened.
Yeah.
The church is bitterly divided. So if Jesus himself is living with unanswered prayer right now in heaven, and if the Bible can be that honest about unanswered prayer, then it's high time that we worked harder to create cultures of honesty in the church. And I don't believe that that is unbelief. I think that's actually a form of belief. If you don't believe in God, then when your prayers don't get answered, you just say, well, that's because it's not true. Mm. But you ask the question, why didn't God answer? Because you believe in him, because you trust him, because you know he's real, because you know that he's loving. So it really is a form of faith to wrestle with these kind of things. It's not unbelief. This is where it is so profoundly meaningful for Christians, that we believe in a God who came and suffered with us on the cross. In fact, I think if it wasn't for the cross, I don't think any of the rest of the Christian message would make any sense at all. It's this truth that at the crossroads of all human experience is a God who suffers. And there is such empathy and wisdom in that story. I'd like us to look at it now, actually, if that's all right. This is Mark chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 32 to 36. It's the story of the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus is in great turmoil as he prepares for the cross. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and he prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." So much in that passage that I think can really help us when we are struggling with unanswered prayer. The first thing is, notice how vulnerable Jesus is with his friends. We're told that he's overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. And yet he very intentionally takes Peter, James, and John, his three best friends, with him into his place of grief and asks them for their support. You've probably experienced this. I know I have. When you really suffer, there's such a temptation to hide and to isolate yourself away. And Jesus does the opposite. He includes his friends, and he knows he needs their help more than ever. And then the next thing to note is that in Jesus' hour of greatest need, he pursued prayer. He knew that his friends were important, but that his Father's presence was the real great need of his soul. One word from the Father can bring more comfort than 1,000 from just some human mate. And then notice what Jesus prays. It's amazing that this vulnerable prayer is recorded for us in detail, probably because the three friends, Peter, James, and John, overheard it and went into the Gospels. But first of all, Jesus says, "Abba, Father." So when he's hurting, he anchors himself in the love of God. He doesn't say, "If you really cared for me, you wouldn't make me go through this."
Right.
He doesn't question God's love. God's love isn't up for debate. And then he continues, he says, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you." So having affirmed God's love, he affirms God's power. In my own life, I know that when I'm scared, when I'm suffering, when I'm hurting, there is a temptation to question God's love. "Do you really love me? You know, why am I suffering?" But the other one is sometimes to question God's power, is to downgrade God's power and say, "Well, I guess this is just too difficult for you, or you can't do that." And Jesus doesn't do that. There's an old Hebrew saying that says, "God is not a kindly old uncle, he's an earthquake." And I think what
Love that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Because there's problems, I'm sure, in your life like mine, that a kindly old uncle can only smile at.
Right.
But an earthquake maybe could shake it. So affirm God's love and God's power. And then the next phrase in the prayer is one of the most surprising bits of the whole Bible. Because Jesus says, "Take this cup from me." In other words, Jesus is saying, "I don't want to die. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be the guy on 1,000 stained glass windows on the cross." Jesus is praying unbiblically. He's gone off message, off piste. It's radical honesty and vulnerability. And it is essential that we are honest when we are hurting and scared and suffering. And Jesus shows us the way to do that, to be honest with our friends and to be honest with God himself.
Good. All right. Question two. again, just a couple of minutes. Why? Why do you think sometimes God does not answer our prayers? Why wouldn't he? Why doesn't it always happen? Be so good if it did. So if you could just for a minute, just discuss, why would God ever not answer our prayers? Just get a little bit of feedback. Just curious to know, what were the first things that came to mind when you discussed this? Why would God ever not answer prayer? What were some of the thoughts? You're not asking what's in his will to give you? For our personal growth? He's got something better planned? Not yet. He's got a bigger plan for us. His kindness, showing another way. There's a bigger picture than what we can see. For our safety, to grow our faith, because if he answered everything we wanted, it might become automatic pilot or something. Yeah, that's great. He's not a vending machine. All right, let's hear another 10 minutes of Pete wisdom.
I have found it helpful to think in terms of three things: God's world, God's war, and God's will. So first of all, God's world. Some prayers aren't answered because it's just the way that God's made the world to work. Mm. And Christians aren't immune from the laws of nature, the laws of science. For example, on our wedding day, it poured with rain. It wasn't exactly what Sammy and I had been dreaming of. But actually, if every single couple who prayed for a sunny wedding day got it, there'd be drought in the land. There must be some farmer somewhere who's praying for it to rain. So there's just laws that make the world work for the vast majority of people, the vast majority of time, and we're part of that system. And C.S. Lewis talks about this. He says that God can and does on occasions modify the behavior of matter and produce what we call miracles is part of Christian faith. But the very concept of a common and therefore stable world demands that these occasions should be extremely rare. If God just does miracles all the time, the world's not going to work.
Okay, I got that. So I drop a brick on my toe, but it doesn't float just because God loves me.
Exactly. And then there's the next one. So that's God's world. The next one is God's war. The Bible teaches, and most people on earth believe, that we are in a spiritual battle. There is a vicious enemy. And as Christians, we are often targeted. And therefore, some prayers aren't answered because there is an enemy. Satan is actively and successfully opposing the will of God. And it can hurt, quite literally, like hell. So we've had God's world, God's war, and then there's God's will. The third reason for unanswered prayer is not the laws of nature opposing our prayers, and not Satan opposing them, but sometimes it's God who is opposing our prayers, who's saying no to them. And that can be relatively straightforward, actually, sometimes, just because God knows best. And in his love, he says no, and then we look back and we realize why. Like, I'm really glad that many of my prayers haven't been answered. Otherwise, I'd probably have grown up to marry a Spice Girl and to work in a zoo. That was my dream in my teenage years. But obviously, there are other prayers that God says no to that we just don't understand. And I've just talked about my own grief right now, processing my friend Tom's death. And that's one of those things I just have to choose to trust, even though I don't understand.
Yeah, Russ, I think we all have those times when we just feel like God is a million miles away. We're praying, but it feels like our prayers are just bouncing against the ceiling.
Yeah, well, I think it's really important to remember, first of all, that God's silence isn't the same as God's absence. Mm. Don't confuse those two. Just because your prayers aren't working, or maybe God seems distant, it doesn't actually mean that he's far away, because he's actually promised in the Bible, I will never leave you, Poppy. I will never forsake you. Often, like, we're new Christians, it's like we can see God, we can feel him, it's like super easy. And then there come seasons in our life where we can't see him the way we once did. We can't feel him, we can't hear him the way we once did.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's abandoned us, it's that he's trying to mature us into something new. He's present, but he's allowing us to kind of grow into new maturity.
Mm. I think it was St. John of the Cross that talked about the dark night of the soul.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. Those are times when God seems to withdraw from us and immerses us in spiritual darkness. And yet those are often times of great spiritual growth and faith. Mm. There's like a bloody-mindedness to true Christian discipleship. You see it in many of the great biblical heroes. One of my favorite examples is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, the story of Daniel and the lion's den and all that. And there's this humorous moment, really, where Nebuchadnezzar says, like, if you don't bow down to my idols, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they say to him, the God we follow can save us and will save us from your fire, O king. So that's real faith. It's like this defiant statement, right? And then they go, but even if he doesn't save us, we still won't bow down. So what is that? I think what that is faithfulness, right? Faith is, I trust God. He can do it. He can do miracles. He can answer my prayers. Faithfulness is, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to follow and trust. And it's like when our prayers don't work and we're still true, our faith fills up. It becomes full faithfulness. It's like faith is God's gift to us, and faithfulness is our gift back to God. It's those times when our prayers don't work and we're still true to him.
Yeah.
That is actually when we grow in character. Mm. So, Poppy, do you know, I bet you know some old man, old woman who's like been a Christian for years, gone through really hard times, but they just have this amazing trust and joy in life.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And those are the people we all want to grow up and be like. And their story is never, I've had an easy life. It's always, I've had a hard life, but I've learned to trust God. Mm. And they often have this real simplicity. It's that bloody-mindedness, it's that faithfulness, that's the filling up of faith. And it's being true to God even when it doesn't make sense. If our prayers were always answered, then faith is just a logical thing to do. But when it doesn't seem sensible, when our prayers aren't working but we're still true, that's faithfulness. Mm. The Apostle Paul says this amazing thing. He says that we can glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And then he says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Isn't that beautiful?
So good.
Even in the middle of suffering, we can know the hope that comes from God's love. And we always want God to airlift us out of our problems, right? That's a miracle, that's an answer to prayer.
Yes, please, Lord.
Right. And sometimes he does it.
Yeah.
But more often he parachutes in and he joins us in the midst of the trouble and the problem. That's been my experience, definitely, with Sammy's illness. Mm. He's often come very close to us in sometimes the scariest times. And so I'm learning to ask the question of God, where, not why. Mm. I find when I say to God, why did this happen? Why? He doesn't really answer me very much. But when I say, where are you in this situation? He always answers. Mm. And when we come to God with that question, where are you? We start to experience his presence even when we're going through hard times and disappointment.
Yeah, that's really, really so helpful. Where, not why.
Yeah.
Parachutes, not airlifts.
Right.
God's world, God's war, and God's will. Mm-hmm. Faith and faithfulness.
And you know, there's just one last little thing that helps link together both our understanding of God's will and Christ's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he utters that great prayer of relinquishment, where he says at the end, not my will, but your will be done. And that's the hardest prayer anyone can ever pray. When we're in those situations and we're scared and we're hurting and God doesn't seem to be answering our prayers the way we want or maybe even need, and we come to that place of saying, not my will, but yours be done. It's a prayer of relinquishment. It's a dark kind of trust. You know, every fiber of your being wants God to just parachute in and rescue you, but you just say, I'm going to trust you regardless. When Sammy went into the MRI scanner, completely alone, couldn't even take her wedding ring in, she was so scared that she just puked everywhere. And then it's like, how do you prepare as a Christian? How do you prepare to go back into that? That's the valley of the shadow of death
for her.
Right. And what she did was she memorized Psalm 91. It's quite a long psalm, but it's all about God being with us and his promise of hope and life. And so they when they put you into the tube, they say, do you want the radio on? Trust me, when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, you do not want like Britney Spears in there with you.
Right.
Right. So she just recited Psalm 91. Mm. And she came out of that and she said, Pete, I experienced the presence of God in there with me. I didn't feel alone, even there. You couldn't be there, but he was there with me. And that's the good news that we have in Jesus, that he is with us always. His silence, remember, is not his absence. And even when we don't understand, we can still trust.
How good. I think, yeah, I've just watched this over several times as I've edited it dodgily, but it's just so faith increasing. The irony of it is that it, like, whets my appetite for prayer rather than, is it worth doing then? And, you know, Jesus commands us, when you pray, to pray. It's not if God answers all your prayers, it's just pray, because prayer does so much more than just the outcome of what we're hoping or what God ends up doing, but it changes us in the process. And I just love the way that God delays answers to prayer, because more people get involved in it, more people hear about the pre-testimony circumstances. Because it's one thing to hear a testimony, it's fantastic, but you hear a testimony of something you knew about before God had responded, it grows your faith tremendously. So we want to take, Laura's going to just facilitate us just to pray for each other. So I just invite you to just think about, well, what do you want God to intervene in your life or in the life of someone close to you at the moment? But yeah, just to reiterate, such good teaching, and that'll be on the sermons page if you want to watch it again or share it with someone. But again, the biggest thing is God wants us to be real. He's big enough for us to ask any questions we like. Just be real, be vulnerable. Let him know if you're annoyed at his slowness or whatever else. God's silence is not the same as God's absence. He is always with us. That's so helpful. Rather than asking the why question, more the where question. God, where are you in this? Where are you going to be for me? And knowing that he does suffer with us. It's an unfortunate reality. The Bible is true. You will have trials. You will have challenges. But God will always be with us in those challenges. And that just how important, even for Jesus, to pray with other people, to have other people pray with us, is so important. And I love that Faith is what God gives us. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Faithfulness is what we give back to God. So just a quick passage, if I can get Adam to read, because again, I just love God's invitation that Jesus is our high priest, and he does invite us to come boldly to him when we need anything. If you could just read maybe the second, the amplified version. Thanks, Adam.
Since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most.
But yeah, just God's grace. He gives that whenever we need it. And we just got to have that posture, anticipating that. So as I invite Laura to come up, and just an opportunity to pray. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Brad. How good. I just wanted to just quickly tell you a very small story that was reminded to me as he was talking. When my mum passed away, and I had the experience of God parachuting in for me, because I was not happy. I was quite devastated, actually, because we had been praying for a divine healing, but it didn't happen. And anyway, when she had passed away, I was at her house with my children. We were staying there. And I was going through her book, just ringing all of her friends and family and letting them know. And so it was a hard job. And down the bottom of one of the pages was the scripture that he had framed there. And it said, the version that was in there said, even though there will be weeping at sunset, there'll be rejoicing at sunrise. And it was one of those words, when you've walked with God for a while, you just know that he's like speaking to you. Like, I could just feel the presence of the Lord on that scripture. And I was so annoyed. I was like, what are you even talking about? Like, seriously, mate? Like, I was very angry and could not understand how that would even be a possibility. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, my brother rang and said, my wife's gone into premature labour and we're going to the hospital now. So she was due to give birth in 3 weeks. And anyway, my beautiful little nephew, Sammy, was born right on sunrise and my mum died right on sunset. And, so God, even in that kind of dark situation, just really gave us a lot of hope for the future. Kind of, you know, obviously the passing of mum was horrendous, but the baby just kind of signified the ongoing love of God in our lives and all that. Anyway, I was just reminded of it when I saw that scripture about how God did parachute in for me at that moment. And yeah, it was amazing because no one saw that coming. So I would like you guys now to have a go in trust, and not just in faith, but in faithfulness to our Lord. Could you guys pair up with the people that you've been talking to this morning? And If you do have something in your life that you are believing God for, that you are struggling with, that you haven't had answered prayer for, I would encourage you to share it with one another, and in faith and trust, just pray. So if you guys want to do that now, that'd be great.